Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Andy. I needed to let you know that we are coming down to the wire on RebateJet.com. What's RebateJet? It's a platform I created for you guys, the small to medium-sized sellers trying to compete against those big brands with those big budgets. Go now to RebateJet.com, sign up for that free seller account before it goes away this month. Now, why do you want to be a part of RebateJet? Just a few things. You can list promo codes for free. You can offer 3 rebates free per day. You can list your products and sell them directly to our customers on our website. We even have a free liquidation marketplace for you to unload products that didn't work out. We also have something else crazy in the works. You guys are going to love it. Go now, RebateJet.com. Now onto the show.
Welcome to the Seller Roundtable e-commerce coaching and business strategies with Andy Arnott and Amy Wiese.
So Henson, I would love to know about open rates, right? This is a huge thing. So many of us, we've grown these big email lists and people are just not, it seems like people are not really checking their email anymore. You know, they're not wanting to get emails. Amazon's already sending them emails. So how do we get better open rates? I mean, what do we do?
Yeah, with open rates, if we're talking about buyer seller messaging, that's something you can track and you have control over. With the review request button, that's another one of the downsides, is you can't track it, right? You can't track the open rates. That data is internal to Amazon. They're not gonna share with you. And the subject line's always gonna be the same subject line that Amazon says, right? I think it's just like, will you rate your transaction or something like that in terms of the subject line. So with open rates, the only way to increase your open rates is by modifying your subject line and playing with the right subject line that entices people to open the email, right? As you guys probably all get thousands of spam mails every day that have all these different types of strategies on, people putting RE:, with a question mark, or different types of things. With us, we've been collecting data for many, many years, right? And what we've seen is the open rate is really dependent on how you address the question of like opening the email for getting reviews. So what I mean is, you don't want to be too direct with the subject line. You don't want to be like, hey, will you review my product? Or how did you like your so-and-so that you bought on Amazon, right? those type of subject lines always get the lowest open rates. And the reason for that is because it's too direct. And people, when they read it inside their mobile phone or the email inbox, they just see it. They already know, like, oh, I don't have time for a day of this, or I don't want to deal with it. And they just ignore it. And people, once they ignore emails, they usually don't come back and look at it again. So you pretty much lost your chance with that. The subject lines that get the highest open rates are ones where it tells you some information about, this is something to do with your Amazon order, but doesn't give you any more information than that. And what that does is it creates a sense of, it's kind of like a mystery, right? It's like, there's something to do with something I order on Amazon, but I have no idea what it's about. So I'm enticed, or I'm curious to open it and see what it is.
So if I'm selling a sleep pillow or something, right? And I say, about your order of sleep pillow, whatever, right? And they're like, wait, what about my order, right? Click on that.
Yep.
Then inside the email, I actually provide data like, here's your PDF on how to get better sleep with our sleep pillow, top 5 tips for better sleep, and really getting the most out of your product, something like that. Is that kind of on point with the kind of emails that would get better open rates?
Yeah, absolutely. You got it exactly. So the subject line I recommend, what I've been using, that constantly gets like 35 to up to 50% open rates, depending on how many emails you send, is like regarding your Amazon order, and then you can fill in the order number in there, right? You can, and if you want to go a little farther, you can put in your product in there you want, but just keep it short, because if the title is too long, it gets cut off as well. So anything like about your order number, Amazon order number, regarding your order number, or information about your Amazon order number, those get the highest open rates, just because people read that, they're like, oh, what's up with my order, right? They click and open it. And then from there is like, then you have to like build some strategy around, okay, how do I get them to leave a review, or how do I get the message across to them? It has to be personalized.
Don't want that first sentence to be super direct and be like, we would like your feedback.
Yeah.
You tricked me, delete.
Exactly, yeah. And that gets a little bit more complicated because then you have to dive into the demographics of your who's buying your product, right? Like if I'm buying toys or if I'm buying, workout supplements, like it could cater to women, it could cater to children, it could cater to men, different age groups, right? They're all sensitive to different types of messages, right? So this is where like you want to use software because you can break down different types of messaging to different types of customers, right? Whereas if you're just sending the same exact copy to every type of product you're selling, then you know, your conversion rates and your open rates are definitely going to be lower.
Got it. That makes sense. All right. Open rates. We've covered that. We know how to improve them. Okay. What about data? All of us are overwhelmed with data, right? I mean, we have so many pieces of software, so much to keep track of. Everybody's overwhelmed with PPC and messaging and mini chat and everything else. Like, what are the data points that you think that sellers should be keeping track of for success?
In my opinion, I think usually, of course, sales, right? Sales is most important. You want to know how much money you're selling every day, the number of units, right? Keeping on top of your returns and refunds, right? Returns and refunds is really important because suddenly you have an influx of returns and refunds. You want to know why, right? Reviews is very important as well. Keeping track of all the product reviews that come in, especially the negative ones, because a lot of times the negative reviews can really just tell you what's going on, right? You could have a manufacturing defect. You could have a missing part, right, that you don't know of. You already sent to Amazon, right? You want to fix these things as soon as possible. Some of the other data points I like is like knowing what your top products are, right, in the last 7 days or last month, like what's your hottest selling products, because that can also give you information later on down the year, like maybe the product is seasonal, right, or maybe there's a trend going on, there's a reason why everyone's starting to buy this product, or keeping track of your least selling products, right, over time, so you could see like, you know, is my inventory starting to pile up? Is this product starting to become saturated? Are there other competitors starting to sell up, right? And do I need to liquidate my inventory? So usually I say these are probably the top data points. Of course, PPC is very important. You want to keep track of your ACoS, making sure, you know, you're not blowing money out of the water for no reason, right? So inventory, PPC, reviews, sales.
And what would you say, you know, we've talked a little bit about reviews. What would you say is the biggest roadblock for sellers getting reviews? What is the number one thing that is a roadblock for people to get reviews?
That's a good question. I mean, the roadblock really is getting the actual buyer to spend the time and day to sit down, click on it, and then write something about your product, right? That's the hardest thing because I don't know what it is. People just don't like doing that, right? And most people that write reviews are the ones that are really angry and they want to do it because they have something bad to say about you, right? The people that have good experiences, most of the time they're like, yeah, I like this product, but I don't have time for this, or, you know, I don't feel like doing it for you, right? So I think that's the biggest roadblock is how do you convince them to spend time to write it? Sometimes that's why, back then with emails, if you can send them a lot of emails, then people used to come up with all these different strategies on like writing very sensitive stories or, you know, very personalized message. And, you know, some people that do read their emails, they actually read it. And if you can trigger something within them or build that personal connection, then a lot of times they will spend the time to write you a review. So.
And I think that's been the rise of ManyChat, right? Because so many people have tried to get in contact with the customer, even rebate sites, stuff like that, where you can message the customer and, you know, just say, hey, how was your experience? But I love what you said about attaching something of value. I think if you can increase the customer experience, I know my products that are innovative and are unique, people just leave reviews because they're like, yes, somebody made this and finally, and I'm so happy. So I don't have any problems getting reviews for my really differentiated and innovative products. I don't even need a funnel. Like, people just leave reviews every day, you know? But those kind of more common products with a lot of competitors, those are tough, you know, and you really got to focus on the customer experience. So, you know, if you're selling the sleep pillow where there's a million other sellers of sleep pillows and you provided that value and you really were able to, you know, get them engaged and go, wow, this was a really cool experience. For, you know, I know a lot of people put in like the surprise gifts were inside of the box, you know, to get them to take the time to do that. So that's a great tip, is just really think about the customer experience and what is going to make them actually want to sit down, take a moment out of their day and give you some kudos. So love that.
Yeah. With the product inserts too, it's pretty powerful. You know, if you have a very nicely crafted product insert, you know, a lot of times people see that product insert and, you know, they'll take the time and day to do it. And sometimes you buy products on Amazon these days, especially with supplements, and you'll see like, well, how they do this, like, you know, go to this link and get your free supplement or get two free bottles on us, right? And people always say, isn't that against TOS or that's not allowed? I recently found out from some sellers that I talked to, they're really big supplement sellers, and asked them, how do you get away with this? How come Amazon doesn't flag you down? And basically they told me, well, their supplement is not just being sold on Amazon. It's being sold on all these different marketplaces, right? And as long as you're consistent with what you're putting in on all the marketplaces, not just Amazon, Amazon is actually okay with it, right? Now, if you have an insert card that's specifically for Amazon that says, hey, you know, 5 free bottles on us, if you write us a review, you're gonna get flagged with that. But if you're doing that for all your marketplaces, eBay, your website, whatever, and believe it or not, Amazon actually does do test buys. They will actually go out there and buy some of these products off Amazon just to see, does it match with what you're selling in Amazon? And if they see it's consistent with what you're selling in Amazon, you can get away with it. So, yeah, you know, that's one of those things where you can, you know, get away with certain things that supposed to be against TOS.
Yeah, they have secret shoppers, right? Just like the big brick and mortar stores do. So Amy, first point I have to make is the way you sell sleep pillows is chest hair and a gold chain. That's the secret to getting the best sleep pillow, as we all know now. I love your idea for the bonus product. Just a note on that. Be careful, folks, because technically if Amazon does one of those test buys and you have a little bonus product in there, I have heard people getting in trouble for that. So just be, you know, careful in that. Maybe, you know, a sticker you could probably get away with, you know, maybe inside your package, you know, maybe bundle it inside. And like Henson was saying, make sure that that goes to, you know, it's just part of your packaging. I mean, what you can do is just look at some of these major brands, right? Like that's what I do for my products, is copy the major brands. When you open a box from, I don't know, like Bissell, say, for example, and you're getting a vacuum, right? They always have all kinds of inserts in there about like, you know, hey, get your, you know, back when we used to use vacuum bags, like, hey, here's the, you know, here's to get, you know, vacuum bags, here's to register for your warranty at our website. Like they pack all these things in there. And as long as it's consistent and it looks like it is part of the product and part of that product experience, Amazon seems to be much more accepting to those types of inserts. So Henson, I'm curious about this. You know, I was poking around your website and I see that you're doing Amazon. Any plans to go into other platforms like Walmart or, you know, some of these other of Shopify, things like that? Have you guys thought about, is that on the roadmap?
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, with COVID-19, we saw a huge increase in Walmart. A lot of sellers going to Walmart now because of what happened with Amazon, right? That 1 month where you couldn't ship anything, I think people started panicking and freaking out, going, oh my God, you know, like, what if this happens again? Like, you know, your whole revenue stream gets shut down. So people are getting smart now and they're like, hey, we got to diversify to some of these other platforms. So Walmart is definitely coming up, and, you know, I've had really good experiences with shopping at Walmart. You know, they have 2-day shipping. You can order online, pick up from the store same day, is actually really convenient. And if you go on Walmart now, it looks like Amazon back in like 2015. You know, it's starting to grow. There's more and more products coming up. You know, a lot of third-party, fulfilled by third-party stuff. Amazon, Walmart starting to do their own fulfillment. So I think Walmart is, you know, they have a good chance of catching up with with Amazon within a few years, possibly. So, you know, we're exploring to, you know, try to integrate with Walmart, possibly Shopify. Those are usually big ones. I know there's like Rakuten. You know, eBay is kind of saturated. It's kind of more specific to, you know, people selling garage stuff. But definitely Walmart's on our roadmap. And, you know, we're trying to build a solution and cater more towards the bigger enterprise companies where, you know, they can have a all-in-one tool and, you know, see all their data, you know, integrate everything together so they don't have to use like, you know, 20 different tools. Like right now, the biggest problem is, you know, there's so many tools out there, and most of these tools, they're not like one tool that's good at everything. There's a lot of tools that have everything, but they're not good at everything, right? And there's tools that are really good at stuff, but they only do certain things, right? So, you know, our forecast and our goal is to continue developing really powerful tools for sellers. We have a brand new profit loss accounting tool that's right now already in beta. A lot of people using it, probably going to release it very soon, but it's very comprehensive. I think with the data points, we grab a lot of data from the API. You have a lot of ability to group together different types of, let's say you're a seller, and a lot of big sellers, they sell like, you know, 50 different types of products, or they might have 5 different types of brands. It's very hard to get analytics for brand to brand or marketplace to marketplace, right? So with our tool, you have the ability to customize, tag different types of products. And then you can say, I want to compare these 5 baby products with these 5 sporting products across, you know, let me say all of Europe or all of Japan. And I want to convert my currency to my currency, right? So it's kind of a better solution than what's out there right now. Just, it's very hard to keep track of all this data unless you have your own customized Excel spreadsheet. And, you know, we're just, our goal is to try to innovate. And, you know, we're not the first company to do it, but we just want to make it the best. So really help out sellers out there to, you know, increase their sales. Yeah.
Awesome. On that note, increasing sales, you know, we're getting close to Q4. I know people like in the summertime are always like, wait, what? Q4 already? But I mean, really now is when, you know, the sellers who are successful in Q4 start planning, start, you know, getting their ducks in a row. Any advice that you have for sellers getting prepped for Q4?
Yeah, I think right now it's probably more dependent on what happens with COVID-19, because everything is revolving around people's behavior, right? Like, big question mark is, are we going to have another shutdown, right? Are kids going to go back to school? Like, what kind of products would be in demand, right? And it's kind of like a guessing game right now. We don't know, right? It could go either way. So if you're selling products that might be more essential, maybe you want to order a lot more of it because it could sell out in a hurry, right? So especially with what's going on, and there's a good chance there could be a second wave coming. So you might want to be prepared with that, because, you know, people that had essential products back in February, they sold out in 1 week, right? And they wish they bought 3x of that. So it might be a good time to try to forecast and see if you should do that. Or if you're selling a product that's not so essential, that might be cater more towards, you know, things reopening up. Like maybe you should be a little bit more conservative and say, hey, what if things shut down again? I could be stuck with a whole pile of inventory that I can't push, right? So I think that's kind of the mentality you need to have right now.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. So one of the things that I always like to kind of add to that is, like, so you know, masks, right? So like when the pandemic started, you know, you had all these people jumping on masks, right? Because there was a shortage, and it's kind of ended up as like the fidget spinner of COVID, right? I mean, now you've got all these sellers who are sitting on like hundreds of thousands of units, some of them of masks. And now there's just, you know, a ton of masks. So that goes perfectly to your point in terms of, you know, do you order a bunch more masks because there's another wave, or, you know, is that going to be saturated? So that's, you know, definitely a lot of, you know, research and, you know, really getting strategic in terms of if you want to try to capitalize on, you know, products that may or may not be related to, you know, to COVID and to being locked in your house and things like that. So that's a great point. On that note, Henson, you know, that might be a little more advanced stuff. Somebody who's just starting out on Amazon, you know, more and more people are jumping into it. I've seen that, you know, because a lot of people are losing their jobs. You know, they're like, well, what do I do now? Right. And they've heard the opportunity in Amazon. So I see a lot of, you know, new people jumping into Amazon. You know, any advice you want to give to these sellers just starting out? I know that it's changed in terms of, you know, there's a lot more competition and things like that. You know, anything that you've learned over the years that you think are, you know, is essential to think about before jumping into that, that new Amazon business?
Yeah, I would say the biggest advice is really do a lot of research on whatever you're trying to sell. Don't sell a product just because you want to sell a product, because most likely, you know, you might be able to sell it, but you're not going to make any money, or it's going to be a failure, right? It's the time you spend on researching a product and building that product, you want to be as efficient as possible, right? So usually what I would say is, you know, buy all of your competitors' products that you're going to sell, right? That use that as initial investment. Buy all their products, figure out what's good and what's bad about it, right? And if it's already perfect, there's no reason to be selling the same product, because it's going to take you years to even catch up to it, right? But let's say you find a product where you say, hey, I can make this product a lot better. It has, you know, pretty good volume, right? You want to try to compete in top products. You might want to compete in more of the medium size or lower end products and try to make that product better. And then go to your supplier and figure out what's the cost of me. Let's say I have to add something to it to make it more efficient, or, you know, in general, it's improving the product. So I always think as an engineer, like, the goal is to make things better, not just to make money to sell it, right? So if you can identify a product that, you know, can sell, but you can make it better, then I think you have a very good chance of success. As we all know, Amazon is not cheap, right? People tell you, oh yeah, you can sell on Amazon for like $500, $1,000. Like, it's absolutely not the case, right? It's a big investment. You want to do it right. You know, you want to spend the time to educate yourself, understand everything there is to know. You know, try to, you know, build all the connections, join all the Facebook groups, you know, research as much as possible, watch YouTube videos before you jump in. It's not as easy as people, like, you know, those people selling courses always tell you, right? It's not that simple. So,
yeah. I love that. That's the old adage of, you know, when you're building, you know, it's always measure twice, cut once, right? And the same applies for when you're sourcing a product. You know, like when I source a new product, you know, I have a spreadsheet that's, you know, we have like, you know, 30 data points on, you know, where we go check Google Trends. We look at, you know, giveaway, like rebate sites. We look at, you know, all these different data points, because to me, the more time you spend, it's just like when people get onto Amazon, right? They spend all this time on all the other stuff rather than getting a solid listing, right? It's one of those like foundational things where, if, you know, when you're doing product research, if you go through all the data points, you know, it might take you an hour rather than 15 minutes, you know, rather than like clicking on the Jungle Scout button and seeing the, oh, this is a 7, woohoo. And, you know, the 1,000 other people that are seeing that same data point. Rather than doing that, you know, going through a spreadsheet and actually doing some product research. That's why it's called product research. It's not a product gift. You know, you're not getting gift these ideas, because everybody, if you're getting gift an idea, everybody else has that idea. So it's using that, you know, that really thorough investigation and actually planning out, you know, when we bring a product on now, we pre-plan all the costs, you know, the advertising, like everything that we are going to, you know, we even add in extra stuff that like we might not have thought of, right? I mean, you know, that's the way to do it. And if you still come out at the end of that spreadsheet with, you know, positive numbers, then that's where you want to go. If not, then you probably want to move on to the next thing. Not to say you can't stumble on something, you know, some unicorn, you know, product. Not to say that won't happen, but the chances of success are going to be much better if you actually, you know, dot the I's there.
Yep.
All right, Henson, what are your favorite, Amy and I are always like reading and, you know, watching YouTube and all that. And most entrepreneurs, I'm sure you're doing the same thing. Any favorite books, podcasts, motivational materials, YouTube channels, like anything you're really into right now in terms of personal growth or learning?
I watch a lot of YouTube these days. Honestly, I don't read that many books anymore just because videos are just so much easier. And one of the things I would say is, if you have a specific topic that you're interested in, YouTube is a great resource. And how I manage my time is I use that YouTube 2X button to play everything twice as fast. I don't know if people use that or not, but I can usually take in data pretty quickly. So watching everything at 2X basically doubles my productivity. So I can watch twice as many things in the same amount of time. I do a lot of stuff within Amazon space and work. I studied a lot of marketing, things like that. So most of the time I spend now is more just leisure. I'm trying to take my brain out of work. I've been reading up a lot about golf, playing golf. I build a little golf cage out in my backyard now, so I have to go to the range. So I've been really studying golf. I've still actively trade stocks, market. I've been doing it for a long, long time. So, there's a lot of really interesting strategies and, beyond technical analysis, there's like order flow trading, things like that. It's just really good to learn all these different things that people are coming up with these days and trying to apply to see, hey, does this stuff work or does it not work, right?
Yeah.
So that's...
Yeah, I was doing day trading there for a while too. And it was funny because when I was, I haven't done it in quite a few years, but back then it was, I would just buy Amazon in the morning and sell it in the afternoon. Like I found this pattern on Amazon stock where it would be like a sell off. And then in the morning you could buy it, or it was like 10 a.m. or whatever. And, some days it wasn't, but like once I figured out that pattern, I was able to make like a couple $100 a day just by trading just a single stock. By looking at patterns and data and all that kind of stuff. So that was fun. That was kind of a, learning experience, but there's also cool things like for me, a lot of these, crypto platforms now they have like crypto bots, where you can automate all this crazy, like you can exchange with another, exchange and things like that. And like, build wealth kind of on autopilot, which sounds crazy, but it's possible. I love digging into all those kinds of things as well. But I'm one of those shiny object people. So I'm trying to stay really, really focused on my Amazon business and my software right now, because otherwise I start straying with all the things that I want to learn and do. So
yeah, same here. You just always want to be focused on your work and what makes you money first, and then whatever outside of it is just more leisure and more fun, right? So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, Henson, thanks so much for being on. It's been fun. You and I did a software mastermind for a little while. I kind of missed that. Maybe we need to, especially now that we're locked up, maybe we need to redo that, get that going again. But in the meantime, how can people get a hold of you? LinkedIn, Facebook, email, anything you want to point people to?
Yeah, just find me on Facebook, Henson Wu. You can message me. I'm on LinkedIn as well, Henson Wu. If you want to email feedback quiz, you can just email support@feedbackquiz.com. Anyone have any questions about, emails, buyer seller messaging, review request button, just feel free to hit me up. I'm always happy to share information, knowledge, help people out.
Anytime. Awesome. Yeah. So, all right. Henson Wu from feedbackwiz.com. Thank you so much for being on. Guys, if you haven't yet, please rate, review, subscribe. We really, really appreciate it when you do that, guys. I keep looking at our podcast download numbers and I get excited every month because it does continue to climb every single month. So that's exciting. It looks like you guys are telling your friends. Really appreciate that, guys. If there's anything you want us to cover, make sure you reach out. Amy and I are very available in terms of LinkedIn, Facebook, kind of all those things on our Facebook groups. Amy's especially active there. I'm not so much because I don't trust Facebook. I'm a LinkedIn dude now. That's kind of my main focus. But guys, thank you so much. And we will see you next time on Seller Roundtable. Remember, you can join us live, sellerroundtable.com/live Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Thank you so much, guys. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for tuning in. Join us every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for live Q&A and bonus content after the recording at sellerroundtable.com. Sponsored by the ultimate software tool for Amazon sales and growth, SellerSEO.com and AmazingAtHome.com.